Ksuvas Perek Yud Gimel Mishnah Yud Aleph 13:11 in the last Mishnah of Maseches Ksuvas. In the previous Mishnah, we talked about the rules regarding relocating and a spouse, if one can force his wife to relocate, etc. Here we have not relocating within Eretz Yisrael, or for that matter, outside of Eretz Yisrael, which was the topic and natural extension of the previous Mishnah, but rather moving to or from Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah says, Hakol ma'alin le'Eretz Yisrael. Anybody, everybody, meaning either spouse, for starters, can require his spouse, or her spouse, to relocate to Eretz Yisrael, everyone in the whole family. Ve'ein hakol motzin, and nobody can force anybody to leave Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that since, according to most Rishonim, living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, so one ought to be there, one should be there, and therefore, if either wife or husband wants to relocate to Eretz Yisrael, he can demand, or she can demand, that the spouse comes with. And if she refuses, so then he can divorce her without giving her a ksuba. If he refuses, then she can demand the get from him. Now, the word hakol always comes to add something. And this Mishnah hakol is coming to add that even an eved ivri, so an eved ivri is a regular Jew who is gone into financial trouble, and he's essentially sold his time for 7 years to his owner. So since the owner owns his time, the chiddush is not, but not his person, still, if the owner is moving to Eretz Yisrael, he can force his eved ivri, his eved ivri, to come with him to Eretz Yisrael. V'ein hakol motzin, and no one can force anyone to leave, meaning if either spouse wants to make yirida, leave Eretz Yisrael, they cannot force their spouse to come with them. And similarly, if one brings an Eved Ivri to Eretz Yisrael and he wants to relocate, then he cannot force Eved Ivri to come with him. That's the Eved Ivri issue, is how the Bartner learns, based on Rashi here. Interestingly, Rashi in Maseches Erevin, on Daf Gimel, understands that the Mishnah is talking about an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave who's owned. And the point is that if he wants to be sold in Eretz Yisrael, he can demand that, and he can't be taken from Eretz Yisrael. He can be forced, he can demand being sold there in Eretz Yisrael instead of relocating from Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, says the Mishnah, but hakol ma'alin liyushalayim ve'ein hakol motzin. And similarly, if one wants to upgrade and relocate to Yerushalayim, where the Kedusha is more than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and as you saw in Maseches Kelim there in the first parak, and according to some sofer, there's like a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he or she can force his or her spouse to relocate to Yerushalayim. And also, ve'ein hakol motzin, and if either one wants to leave, they can't force the other one to go with them. And the same hakol would add even the Eved Kanani, and or Eved Ivri, as the case may be. Echra nashim ve'echra nashim. And this rule applies both to men and women, or I should say women and men, meaning either spouse. Now, so that would be then, that's the end of the topic of that first half of the Mishnah. And where one has to stay in Israel. Even according to the Rambam, who understands there is currently no mitzvah midoraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael, even he codifies this lahalacha and says more than that, that everyone should live in Eretz Yisrael, if they can, and no one's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, except for certain extenuating circumstances. You can look over there in Hilchos Malachim in the fifth parak, starting from Malachates, and see the details of there according to the Rambam. But my point here is that even the Rambam, who holds that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, still holds that every Jew ought to live in Eretz Yisrael and ought not leave once they get there. Now, the second half of the Mishnah, and this is the last topic we'll have in our Masechta, is talking about the payment of the ksuba in the event that one relocates during his marriage. So now, the basic rule would be, let's say we enter into a deal, and deal is not even a marriage deal, just a deal that says, you know, if we break up our partnership, I'll give you $100. Now, if I don't specify dollars of which country, let's say we sign that deal in the United States, but we relocate to Canada. So the question would be, well, when we do our breakup and have to pay $100, those Canadian dollars or American dollars? And the basic rule is that we go after the place where the obligation was undertaken. So in the case of it started in America, it would be American dollars. And that's because that's what everyone was agreeing to, presumably. Now, something similar should apply to ksuba as well. However, since ksuba is midrabanan, there's going to be leniency. We'll see this in machlokas tanaim if it is in fact midrabanan, but if you hold this midrabanan la halacha, it is. So therefore, there'll be a leniency. And the leniency is that one can pay the lesser amount if there's an ambiguity and one relocates, provided that at all events, he never gives less than the minimum amount that was prescribed by Chazal. Chazal said that first time marriages have 200 zuz, second time have 100 zuz. They had in mind the zuz was a dinar. They had in mind that the dinar they're talking about is the dinar of the Medina in Eretz Yisrael, which is 1/8 silver, and the rest was copper. So it works out to like a certain amount of silver as a minimum. Let's call that 120 grams of silver content in those 200 zuz coins. So the idea is that like at all events, no matter what currency you're talking about, he has to give a bare minimum of at least 120 grams of silver, let's say, a value. But he can go after the lesser valuable currency in the event that he moved from one jurisdiction to another jurisdiction with different currency between when they got married and when they get divorced. That's the gist of it. So the Mishnah says inside, here's more details. It says, Nasa Isha be'eretz Yisrael v'gersha be'eretz Yisrael. If a man marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, then of course, no salam in most Eretz Yisrael. He has to pay her out her 200 zuz, or whatever the ksuba stipulates, based on local Eretz Yisrael currency. Nasa Isha be'eretz Yisrael. If they got married in Eretz Yisrael and that was the ksuba, v'gersha be'Kappadokia, and he divorces her elsewhere, the Mishnah takes the example of Kappadokia, assuming that's the proper translation for this word, Kaputkaya. Cappadocia, but why it was chosen here is because the coins of Cappadocia were worth more than those of Eretz Yisrael. So the point is that even though he's getting divorced in Cappadocia and they use dinar over there, still, no salam in ma'os Eretz Yisrael. He can pay her out in Eretz Yisrael money because A, that still meets the minimum requirement of like, I'll call the 120 grams of silver, the Chazal Adamon, and B, when they took the obligation, they were living in Eretz Yisrael, so of course that's what they meant. On the flip side, Nasa Isha b'Kappadocia, if they got married in Cappadocia where the coins are worth more and he committed to give her the 200 dinar or zuz over there, the gersha be'eretz Yisrael, and when they get divorced, they do it in Eretz Yisrael. So it says the Tana here, no slam emos Eretz Yisrael. He can give her Eretz Yisrael money because since it's this Tana holds that a ksuba payment is only rabbinic in nature, and the rabbis had this in mind, the rabbi said the minimum has got to be the 200 zuz of Eretz Yisrael, so that's what he can give her, 200 zuz of Eretz Yisrael, even though it's a leniency. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he disagrees. He holds that the obligation to pay at a ksuba is an obligation of mid-oraisa. And that being the case, since he undertook to pay in Cappadocia, he has to pay in Cappadocia coins, because that'll be, it's a doraisa, you have to fill it in with the stricture. And therefore, no salam mos Cappadocia, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But the halacha is like the Tana Kama, one can be lenient again and give the less of two currencies again, provided that he gives a total value of at least 200 zuz for Eretz Yisrael. Finally, Nasa Isha b'Kappadocia v'Gersha b'Kappadocia. If they got married in Cappadocia and divorced in Cappadocia, then according to everybody, it's Pashit. No Islam Amos Cappadocia. He has to give her Cappadocian money because what else could they possibly mean or intend? And of course, the obligation. So that's the halacha also. And to the extent that it's applicable that we pay out ksuba in any case. And with that, B'siyat D'Shmaya, we finish Maseches Ksubas. Mazel Tov to everybody. Baruch Hashem. And next up, we will learn Be'ez Hashem Maseches Nedarim.